This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Most of the new Medicare law won't take effect until 2006 or later, but a piece of the law that applies to everyone except those on Medicare begins today. NPR's Julie Robner reports on a new way to pay for health care, one that supporters and critics agree could fundamentally alter the nation's health care system.
When President Bush signed the Medicare bill into law, he singled out the provision creating health savings accounts.
A health savings account is a good deal, and all Americans should consider it.
HSAs, as they're already being called, are tax-advantaged accounts for working-age Americans who also have health insurance with a high deductible. Annual deductibles have to be at least $1,000 for an individual and $2,000 for a family. Employers or workers or both could contribute pre-tax money to the accounts. That money can then be used, tax-free, to pay for health expenses until the deductible is reached, after which insurance kicks in. If workers don't spend the money, it builds up, also tax-free. Money in an HSA can carry over from year to year, and a worker can even take it from job to job. To see how these accounts might work, we created a hypothetical middle American family with average income and health care costs.
My name is John Jones. I'm 42 years old, and I work as a machinist in Omaha, Nebraska. My wife, Jane, and I have two children, aged 10 and 7. Jane works part-time as a teacher's aide. She earns about $15,000 a year. With overtime, I earn about $60,000. Right now, we have pretty good coverage through a PPO I get from my work. This year's deductible is $350. We're pretty healthy, but my son has asthma, and my wife takes medication for high blood pressure. My employer plans to start offering a health savings account next year. They will put $1,000 into the account, and my monthly health insurance premium will go down. But the insurance would have a $3,000 deductible. Would this be good for my family?
HSA backers like economist Tom Miller say the Jones family could probably do pretty well with that kind of HSA. A big advantage for a family with existing health problems, he says, is the freedom to choose their own doctors and other health providers.
So they have the chance to kind of find the type of care that best works for them. If they're motivated to kind of get the best value for their money, and it's their money, unlike someone else's, which they think they would be spending under more comprehensive insurance, they're going to probably, for certain types of health procedures, they may call around and actually shop around and find out kind of, gee, this is about the same everywhere, but who will charge me a little bit less?
But critics of the accounts, like Gail Shearer of Consumers Union, say there are potential pitfalls for the Jones family if they trade their comprehensive coverage for an HSA. Her biggest worry is that while employers may start out making contributions to the accounts, many will quickly cut back. She says that would put pressure on families like the Joneses, who already have health problems to cope with, to fund the accounts themselves.
A family with these children and these health care expenses is not going to probably be in a position to contribute extra. The asthma kicks in. Maybe the wife gets pregnant again. All these expenses occur. That $1,000 in the health savings account will be spent very quickly, and then that family will have to come up with $2,000 before they meet their deductible. And at that point, the health policy will kick in, but that family is out of pocket a lot of money.
Conservatives who've pushed for HSAs, which used to be called medical savings accounts, say they'll benefit not only the people who sign up for them, but the entire health care system. Miller is among those who think that if more individuals are responsible for more of their own health spending, they will demand that health care providers tell them how much they charge up front, a first step towards true price competition.
People pay attention to who's paying the bills and where the money's coming from. What you want is for all the other health care providers and insurers to be listening to kind of the patient, the consumer, as the boss.
Shearer of Consumers Union also says she thinks HSAs could affect the health system, but not for the better.
This is marketed as if it increases choice. Over time, it decreases choice. It means everybody has no choice but high deductible coverage.
That's because healthy people and sick people make different decisions about their health insurance based on how much health care they think they will use.
Over time, relatively healthy people will prefer the higher deductible coverage. And so when the risk pool is split up, what that means is that employers, insurers have to increase the premium for people left behind in traditional lower deductible coverage.
And those higher premiums will make the lower deductible coverage unaffordable for those who need it most. At the same time, Shearer says she doubts individual consumers will be any more successful pushing down prices than insurance companies have been.
I think that when people are faced with emergency room situations and serious, possibly fatal diseases, the last thing they really want to be doing is bargaining with their doctors. I don't think this is a realistic expectation for what's going to happen in the healthcare system.
HSA backers say it's the routine expenses people will be able to bargain for, not the emergencies. But while the debate continues over the potential impact of the accounts, there's little doubt that they will be available. Major insurers like Aetna and UnitedHealthcare are poised to begin pushing the new plans. Banks and credit unions are also hoping to manage HSAs. After nearly a decade of mostly academic debate, those for and against the accounts may finally get to see who's right. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.